The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hello, friends. I wish you love, peace, and soul today. Rest in peace, Don Cornelius. Peace is so important. It's one of the most valuable gifts that we can give to ourselves and to each other. And today, I just want to spend a few moments talking about the importance of peace and why I think it is so important and vital for everybody to learn how to protect their peace. Peace means something different to everyone. You can look up a regular definition for it. It typically has to do with just existing in a state of harmony with no conflict and no fighting. For me, I envision peace, my mind, my will, my emotions. I can visualize all of them, and I know what it looks like when I have peace in my spirit. So what it looks like, if you would join me on this peace walk to my peace beach, you would see that we are sitting on like banks of a pond. It is grassy. There's beautiful trees. The sun is overhead. The sky is filled with beautiful white cotton-like clouds. The trees have leaves that are dancing in the wind. There is a smooth, cool breeze gently gracing and grazing the surface of the water. It's beautiful out here. Like, we can party in the daytime, have barbecues and kick it. We can party under the stars and have bonfires. It is beautiful here at this pond, at this beach, when I have peace. What does it look like, though, when I don't have peace? The pond, it looks very different. The wind is no longer slowly moving through the space. It is Chicago wind. It's downtown Chi-City when you are walking right past some of those buildings, and that wind will take your life off, take your face off if you let it. It is, the clouds are no longer fluffy white cotton balls. They are gray storm clouds gathering, and you can't even, the rain is not here, but you can hear thunder in the distance and lightning flashing in the distance. The trees, they are no longer standing strong. There are branches that have been ripped from the stems. They are laying on the ground, leaves everywhere. The fruit that was on the tree is now just scattered about, rolling down towards the water. The water is no longer like smooth and calm. There is turbulence happening underneath. There are riptides and jet streams. Jet streams is the sky. There are just tides happening underneath the water that let me know the surface is going to be disturbed. Long story short, this peaceful beach that we were just lounging on is no longer a safe space. I'm standing. I was laying, I was sunbathing on the sand, letting the melanin absorb into my skin and my soul. That is no longer the case. I am standing up, I'm looking around, I am afraid. My peace has been disturbed in the real world. So that's what happens in my mind when some stuff happens and I get stressed out. For me, I've had to ask myself, what does peace mean to me in this real world? I understand the visualization in my brain, but how does that play out as I engage with other people? I used to think that the problem was conflict with other people. I used to really be afraid of conflict, and I wanted to do everything that I could in order to keep the peace because I thought conflict with other people was the problem or the enemy. But what I have learned is that conflict with other people is not the enemy. It is good to have conflict with people. It's how you grow. I hate it when people are upset with me, when people don't understand me, when I have done something to hurt someone. But as humans, that's literally going to be our experience. We are going to hurt each other. We're going to piss each other off, and not even intentionally. We are going to do things that disturbs other people's peace. We have to learn from them. We grow. We apologize. You don't do the same thing twice. But it's impossible to not hurt someone. Initially, I was really afraid of that, hurting someone and that conflict, that interpersonal conflict being the source of anxiety. But what I have learned as I've gotten older is that cognitive dissonance, or me disagreeing with myself, is the main source of stress and the main culprit in stealing and disturbing my peace. What do I mean by cognitive dissonance? It's a psych term. Come on, all the psych majors. Cognitive dissonance is what happens when you have like a thought, an action, or behavior that they don't align. So when you have two things that do not go together, they are in direct conflict with each other within the same person. An example of that would be, if I knew that smoking causes cancer, but I still smoking cigarettes causes cancer, but I still smoke cigarettes. That's an example of cognitive dissonance. I know that my behavior is going to lead me to an outcome that I don't want, but I am still on purpose engaging in that behavior. So that some people would call it hypocritical. If you are doing one thing and saying another, cognitive dissonance is my main source of stress. When I feel like I am doing something that is antithetical to who I am or what I believe, I am not somebody who can just fake it. I talk fake it till you make it, but I mean like doing some temporary putting off, like I'm talking about putting off instant gratification in order to get to a goal that's down the line. If you need to, like, I am not good with public speaking, but I know in this role it requires me, or at this phase in my life, it requires me to be more extroverted. I'm going to fake it until I get to the point where I don't have to be extroverted anymore. I can go back. I have a position, or I'm at a space or a time in my life where I can sit back in the background. I don't have to do that anymore. So I'm not talking about faking it till you make it. I'm talking about you doing something that you do not believe in. You doing something that disrupts your peace. You feel bad or guilty, or you are having angst or resentment against whatever is leading you or influencing you to move in a direction that you do not agree with. That's what the source of stress is for me. And my body will tell me before I recognize, before my conscious mind fully recognizes, like, hey girl, you stressed. My stress will manifest itself in different ways. So today I'm going to talk about ways that your stress might manifest itself. And it might be a way for you to tell you, like, something is going on that we need to pay attention to. When do you talk to you, and how do you get feedback from yourself? Sometimes you will speak to you and you just got to pay attention. One way that I recognize that my peace was disturbed is when my sleep pattern is off. Last year, this time, is when I started getting my power back. I did not realize that I was stressed. My body started telling me that I was stressed. It was later that I realized what was happening, but it was around this time, September 2018, is when I started to be mindful and try to become aware of why I was doing certain things. What do I mean? My sleep pattern. Why was I waking up every day between 5:15 and 5:45 a.m.? No alarm clock. And I mean every day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, love, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, love. Every day I was waking up between 5:15, 5:45, no alarm clock. Why? And I was going to sleep early, which is consistent. That's not new. I've always been an early sleeper. Even in high school, I was in bed by 9:30. But I was waking up at 5:15 to 5:45, and I wasn't rested, and my mind was racing. I was waking up anxious. That was one way that I realized like something is going on in my spirit and my peace is disturbed. Another way that I realized is that my eating habits were off. I already have a strange relationship with eating. Ever since I joined Weight Watchers and I lost some weight, I've learned how to reprogram my perspective about food. And I've talked about this before, but when I'm stressed, my appetite is the first thing to go. I call it the stress diet. For some people, they eat their emotions. My emotions eat me. When I am upset, I'm not eating. So I realized, why am I not eating? I call that the stress diet. Your personality is off. For me, if my personality is not what it usually is, I know me. I know my beach. Remember, I talked about my beach. It's usually warm and it's nice. You know, it's sarcastic. It's a good time. It's fun. But when that sarcasm turns to bitchiness, and you know, it's a fine line, and I know the difference. Most of my friends, and I love this about my friends, are so aware. You can tell if you are being a bitch, like, bro, sis. And I use bitch, that is a gender-neutral term. It is a set of behaviors. For me, you know if you are acting like a bitch. Look at me getting aggressive. You know if you are acting like a bitch. And if you are, sometimes you might need to tap out, like, hey, you know what? I'm not me today. I don't know why. I'm feeling some sort of way that I cannot articulate, but I'm extra spicy right now. And that's okay, because sometimes your shit is off, but you can at least say that. When you're aware, you can say that and you can realize that about yourself. Other times, somebody just might walk up to you and just get a little bit. You don't want that. You don't want somebody, some innocent bystander, to walk up to you making a joke and all of a sudden they just get a little bit. That's not cool. You're stressed. Somebody fucked your peace up. Your thinking is off. There was a point in time where everything I did was just, I was just scared of everything. Bro, sis, I was afraid of everything. Some of it starts with watching the news. I used to watch the news every morning when I woke up. I know many of us did, but I talked about this before and how I've had to take my mornings back as mine. One of the things was that I was always watching the news, so I became afraid. I started to believe the narratives that are out there and internalizing those narratives and stereotypes about people who look like me, who sound like me, who live down the street from me. Everybody. It was almost at a point where everybody was the enemy. Between me watching my news in the morning, listening to my serial killer podcast, and me just having to deal with humans on a day-to-day basis, I was like, look, you can't trust none of these people. Everybody crazy. And it's like, no, that is not true. We know that that is not true. We know that you cannot trust and believe everything as it is presented. There is a story and an angle. Living in a certain area does not mean that you are going to die when you walk outside. You can go outside, you can play, you can go hang with your friends, you can go to certain places. Like, you don't have to live in fear. But when I started thinking, instead of looking at life through a love lens, I started looking at life through a fear lens. That's when I realized something was happening at my beach. My peace was being disturbed. My environment was off. And I have talked about this before, especially on like some Bridezillas Are Made episodes. That environment, your environment really can be a reflection of your mind and your state of mind. I was just talking to a friend, and he was talking about how stressed he feels at work, how he is just really unhappy, really miserable at work. And then he's like, you know, and I went home last night and I slept. Like, I got into bed at 7. I did not get up till 7 this morning. I didn't even know I was that tired. Remember, I talked about the sleeping patterns, when your sleeping patterns are off. Then he says, like, you know, and my house is awful. Like, I am embarrassed when I walk into my house. Like, I would never let my house get like this. Bro, I feel you. I've talked about that before. When we were in the middle of our wedding planning, process and moving into this house and everything that was stressing me out on my little beach, everything, all of the storm clouds and the wind and the turbulation under the water, all of those things were setting in. I did not care about the environment around me. Clothes on the floor. Like, and I feel like we've started to have more of these conversations because we used to just make assumptions about people and how they kept the house. Like, that's because you nasty, all of that. But what does it look like when you really are living in a state of semi-depression or anxiety when you just do not care? I've talked about that before. I would take my clothes off and throw them on the floor and walk right over them. I don't care about this shirt. I take it off, throw it on the floor. That shirt would stay there for 3, 4, 5 days, weeks. Like, it's at the point now where I'm like, okay, people, we know that clothes go in hampers. What's happening? Fold clothes. Da, da, da. No, when you're going through some shit, fuck them clothes. FTC. Them clothes ain't killing nobody. They can stay on the floor. Like, the dishes in the sink or the garbage, like, you know, you still maintain, but the type of care that you would usually do to create an environment that you feel good in, where you walk into the room, like, your home, your space is supposed to be yours. It's your happy place. Disney World is the happiest place on earth. Strip clubs might be number 2, 3 for sure should be your home. When you walk in, it should be at your home, should hug you when you walk in. Shout out to JM Interior Stylings, who I had to work with in order to make my house into a home, because I realized that was not my strong suit. I saw that there was a problem. I could not create the home environment that I wanted to, so I had to outsource and get help and get resources so that I could help restore my peace. When my environment got to be out of control and I realized I could not do it, decluttering is real, bro. Like, organizing your home, there is a real business and industry and people who will help you do that, because we have so much stuff. And if you just have it everywhere, it can trigger your anxiety even more. And then it's like a spiral. It's like you already felt defeated by the fact that your home is not what you wanted it to be. Then you're exhausted. So by the time you get home, you just throw your stuff on the floor. You probably need to eat because your eating habits are off. So if you're like me, you probably like, all right, I need to eat before I die. If you're like some of my other friends, you go in and you find your Flamin' Hots, Oreos, cookies, marshmallows, what M&M's, candy, Skittles. You find whatever comfort food that will make you, that you feel, that you hope will make you feel better. And in reality, that's a whole different set of problems. And then even your clothes, what you wear and how you present yourself to the world. There was a time last year where I was so stressed. Actually, it was this year, earlier this year. I wore the same outfit for like 3 months. Not the exact same piece of, not the same top and the same bottoms. But I wore a hoodie, jeans or pants, and boots for pretty much January to April. The same, like, I had from my old job, I had like 3 or 4 hoodies. I had just like regular jeans or pants, and then those boots. I just rotated hoodies and t-shirts. Hoodies and t-shirts and jeans. Hoodies, t-shirts, jeans. Hoodies, t-shirts. That is not me. Anybody who knows me, there was a point in time where I wanted to wear a dress every day. I would never just throw on hoodies, jeans, boots. Hoodies, jeans, boots. Not even like cute hoodie, cute jean, cute boot. The boots were cute, I cannot lie. I had to have some sort of standard. But like, no. If I were in a happy, peaceful place without this cognitive dissonance where everything was making sense and things were flowing together, I would never have dressed like that. But because there was all of this cognitive dissonance that I did not recognize, I didn't recognize the source of my confusion and anxiety. It's just I was operating in a different space. And once I became more aware, which happened about September 2018, once I actually started paying attention to what I was doing, I tried to identify why I was doing it. And I tried to pay attention to what was causing me to move in this way. The way that I became so aware was because I listened to the children. My husband and I went to visit his godchildren, and his goddaughter had a diary. And she wrote in her diary, and she asked me, could she read some of the stories from her diary to me? So I was like, yes, of course. You know, I love listening to kids and their imagination. They, you know, they be knowing stuff. So I'm listening to her diary, and I was like, you know what? You've really inspired me. I'm going to go get a diary. And so I went and I bought a diary and I started writing in it. Did not know what I was going to write. Had no clue. I literally just started writing. It was a Saturday in June 2018 when I started writing. I realized that I had some trauma that I did not recognize that I had. My therapist told me that I had this trauma, but I told my therapist that she was wrong as I was crying, talking about the trauma. I was like, I don't have trauma. I just cry when I talk about it. Yeah, she just sat there and she listened. She was a good therapist. But it was clear because once she told me, I wanted to stay in denial a little bit longer. And then I wrote in that diary in June 2018. And I saw that some stuff that happened in college was never resolved. And I had PTSD based on this experience that happened in undergrad. Once I realized, like, wait a minute, this PTSD, based on this shit that happened in college, is this triggering me? And I was able to look around and be like, okay, let me get back to this beach. Let me get back in my emotions. Let me look at this wind. Let me look at these storm clouds. Let me look at these branches that have been ripped. Let me look at all of the things that I see as broken pieces and all of the things that are stressing me out and causing me anxiety right now. Are they all linked to or connected to this source of trauma? Is this my trigger? And I learned about my triggers. Once I learned about my triggers, I was able to address the problem and start to get my power back. I was able to start to look it in the face and be like, wait a minute. No, my peace is mine, and I'm not going to let anything come in and disturb my peace. So while I felt like the wind was blowing and the rains were ripping and all of that stuff, I got shelter. So if this is a storm that I need to withstand, I will do that. And I will go to the tree that I felt was just wildly blowing in the wind, and I will anchor myself to my foundation because my peace is mine. Storms will come. It's true. You can't stop those storms, but you don't have to get lost in the storm. And honestly, that's what happens when you lose your peace. When some stuff starts going crazy and then you start going crazy too. What? Just imagine yourself. So I visualize it, but let's put it in the real world. What happens when you are standing outside and somebody just start going off on you like you crazy? You can do several things. You can do, the possibilities are infinite, but you get to make your choice. And if you are anchored to your foundation in the middle of this storm, in the middle of this craziness, you can still maintain your composure. And honestly, it's on you to maintain your composure because your peace is your responsibility. When you are operating at your best self, like you are letting frenemies, you letting these triggers, you're letting all of these miscellaneous people in situations that don't matter have way too much power over you. Paying attention to what was around me and paying attention to like what could help me stay anchored to myself is what helped me come out of that madness and helped me to start to say like, look, while this storm is going on, I don't have to adjust how I operate. I can still shine bright in the midst of all of this craziness that's going around. You got to just regain your composure and regain your footing. Remember, I told you on my beach, there is a tree. There is a stable, sturdy tree that produces fruit, that has deep roots that are connected to this water. It doesn't matter what happens everywhere else around me, as long as I anchor myself to that tree, the tree that produces fruit, whatever it is about you, the special thing that it is about you that will keep you sane when everything else is going crazy. Anchor yourself to your purpose. Because when you connect yourself to your purpose, that will help you maintain your peace in all of the craziness that's going on around you. So I had work craziness going on. I had wedding craziness going on. I had just moving and just life moving into our new condo. That was crazy. I never knew about the role that the environment could play in your like mental whatever. I was used to living in a house with windows on all sides. Now move into a garden unit condo. There are other people in the building. I thought I was alone. Are those footsteps? Help, who's here? Yeah, all kind of scared. Remember I told you looking at everything through that fear lens? So my fear and me watching the news and oh my God, the world is a scary place. Plus me being in a new environment, a new physical environment that was already scary, was scary on scary. I was scaring myself, creating narratives, making this storm inside of my brain. I was making it worse because that's what happens when we create narratives sometimes, which is why you have to stop and you have to look and you have to be aware and you have to be reflective and you have to say like, wait, what is happening right now? Just like I visualize it, I need to know what is happening right now. Why do I feel so much uncertainty? Once I anchored myself to that tree, I was able to regain my composure and regain my confidence. And I understood what was going on. Sometimes storms will happen. And that's okay. The storm can happen. You don't have to storm. The storm can happen. You can still remain peaceful in the midst of that storm. How did I regain my composure? Honestly, I told you I bought that diary last year. I started writing in it in June. By September, I had, I think, become so aware and so comfortable of my triggers that I was able to be like, hey, we're good. We're stronger. We get in light. The light is burning brighter. And remember, I've talked about self-care in the past. One way that really helped me on that beach, on that, on my peace lake pond view area was my music. I really relied super heavy on music to help me reestablish my peace in the midst of that storm. Like, hello, I told the storm, whether it be your gospel, your rock, your jazz, your R&B, whatever it was, for me, it was rap. It was having my Charge Me Up playlist. I rapped the mess out of all kind of songs. I've told you I got playlists for every occasion. My Charge Me Up playlist, specifically 6 foot, 7 foot by Lil Wayne. That is what helped me get all of my power back. And of course, power, Kanye West. I had to like really rap these lyrics, believe the words, and stand there strong in the midst of all of this chaos that was going on around me. Because I knew that my peace was up to me to restore. I didn't care what was going on. I don't care how many storms are happening around me. I will be strong. Because that is why it is so important for you to always learn how to protect your peace. People will go crazy. Stuff will go crazy. Shit will go dark. But what will you do? You should be able to stand anchored to who you are in every situation. No matter what happens around you, you should be you. You should always be you. You should never let the circumstances change you and how you move. You need to make sure that you are sleeping. You need to make sure that you are eating. You need to make sure that your thinking and your mindset is appropriate and aligned to where you are trying to go. You need to make sure that your environment is one that is supportive of you. It should make you happy. your clothes and how you present to the world, you should still have your same energy. You should still have your same sense of pride in yourself. No matter what is happening around you, again, you are all you got. Pay attention to you. Pay attention to your triggers. Pay attention to how this world is impacting you and how you are absorbing everything that's happening to you and how you are putting it back out into the world. Because you do have the power when you are anchored to who you are. You have the power to only produce the fruit that you want to produce. Not the fruit that was created under the circumstances based on the storm. Or created under the context of the storm or the confines of the storm. You have all the power that you need. You are so incredibly powerful. And one of your powers includes being able to protect your peace mentally. Visualize it. Your space. Shit will happen in that space. But how do you react when shit happens in that space? That is the answer. And I'm telling you, protecting my peace gave me my power. Because when you have no power, when you are all the way unplugged, when you are all the way defeated, when you are all the way deflated, that's when you lose who you are. I had to put together all of my self-care components in order to help me regain and protect my peace and create a process for always being able to retain and protect my peace. Because when you have no peace, you have more problems. All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me. So thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.